בוקר טוב רבותיי, ערב שבת שלום, פרשת בהעלותיך. So there are several correlations between some subject matters in last week's parasha in this week's parasha, especially because if you look in a Mishnah, in Masechet Sota Daf Tet, the Mishnah speaks about the last week we spoke about parashat Sota in the Torah, and the Torah brings many ra'ayot that to the concept of b'mida she'adam moded bah modedin lo, which means the measure that a person uses to measure for himself, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to measure for him, aka also known as in the colloquial as mida keneged mida, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats the person b'mida keneged mida, and that's what the sota she was mekalkelet b'yarech tchila, that's why it starts from the yarech, from the beten and then the yarech and then the whole thing, and then the Mishnah brings down a whole slew of examples throughout Tanakh, both for the good and the bad, that midah keneged midah was utilized. And the Torah speaks about Shimshon halach achar einav, and therefore what happened at the end, unfortunately, they poked out his eyes. Then it says, there's a few of them. Yeah? Avshalom was nitga'e b'sa'aro, basof halach v'nitla b'sa'aro, v'chule. And then the Mishnah gives us an example from this week's parasha. It says the Mishnah, and then we'll speak about it a little bit further. The Mishnah says as follows, V'chein me'inyan ha'tova. Yeah, I'm sorry, Avshalom, the Mishnah says, was gonev levavot Yisrael. He kind of stole the hearts of Am Yisrael by selling them lakshin, and then what happened at the end, he got stabbed in the heart. Anyway, but then it says, le'inyan ha'tova. V'chein me'inyan ha'tova, says the Mishnah, Miriam himtina le'moshe sha'a achat, שנאמר ותתצב אחותו מרחוק. לפיכך מתעכבו לישראל שבעה ימים במדבר, שנאמר ועם לא נסע עד יעשית מרים. מרים waited for Moshe Rabbeinu for an hour on Yam Suf to see ותתצב אחותו מרחוק לדעה מה יעשה לו, to see what happens with him. And then what happened in this week's parasha, when she was stricken with tzaraat, she was outside, she was ostracized from the machane for 7 days. And yet Am Yisrael did something very special for her. What did they do? The entire Am Yisrael didn't move. For one person, Miriam and Nevi'ah, for 7 days they were supposed to move already. From Chatzerot to Har Paran, they waited for Miriam for an entire week as Midah Keneged Midah. Now, it's interesting, the Mishnah brings a few more examples. Yosef HaTzadik took part himself in burying his father, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu buried him, and because Moshe Rabbeinu buried Yosef, who buried Moshe? Hashem, everything is midah keneged midah. That's the theme of the Mishnah. Now, it's very interesting. There's a Tosfot in Sota Daf Yud Aleph, two Dafim later, which the Masoret Hasha says really belongs on the Mishnah. And Tosfot says as follows. I read you the Tosfot, and there's a very fascinating Maharsha on this Tosfot. And he says, let's make the Cheshbon. Lav davka nakat sha'a, ela shlish sha'a or avia. He says, it's got to be about... It's not exactly that Miriam waited for Moshe Rabbeinu an hour. It's more like a quarter or a third of an hour. How much is a quarter of an hour? 15 minutes. A third of an hour is 20 minutes. How do you get to that cheshbon? I'll show you the Maharsha in a minute. Why? The katane betosefta midat tova meruba mimidat puranut al achat chamesh meot. Meaning, however HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the midah keneged midah that Hashem does for punishment, it's 500 times greater when it comes to reward. We'll see that in a minute, what that means. Explains the Maharsha. This is a beautiful chat. Listen to this. Yeah. Says the Maharsha. Shlish sha'ot mizayin yamim ubekeruv alachat mechamesh meot. Da'ashta b'midat kur'anut kashiyor shu moded modedin lo velo yoter v'avale midat tova meruba alachat mechamesh meot mimida ra'a. Which means, says, by punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back exactly based on what the person did. But by Tova, what are we saying? Tova is, it's not one to one, it's 1 to 500. That's what the Tosefta says. So now let's make a Cheshbon. How many hours are there in a week?
24 times 7.
Well, in order to figure out the minutes in a week, you have to do 7.
24 times 7 times 60,
which comes out, I made the Cheshbon myself, comes out 10,080 minutes in an hour, okay? If we're saying that midat tova is better than midat puranut, so you have to divide that by 500 to know how many minutes that Miriam really stayed. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded Miriam with the entire Am Yisrael waiting for her 10,080 minutes, 10,080 divided by 500 comes out to 20.16, which means that that's how long Miriam waited. That leads Tosfot and the Maharsha to understand that Miriam couldn't have waited for an hour for Moshe Rabbeinu, because if that was the case, they would have waited more than a week. In order for Am Yisrael, the entirety of Am Yisrael, to wait exactly a week, then she had to have stood at Yam Suf waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu about 15 to 20 minutes or so. It's a little bit more than 20 minutes.
It's also multiplied by everyone that waited also.
That's an interesting Shaila, because if that was the case, then Miriam would have to, if it's every single person, it's 10,080 minutes times, there is not only 600,000 men above the age of 20 in Am Yisrael, there were millions of Am Yisrael. So multiplied by that, then that would mean that Miriam would have had to wait days for Moshe Rabbeinu at Yam Suf. So that wouldn't work. Apparently, then the pashtut is that Hashem rewarded her with the entire Am Yisrael waiting for her the amount of
week. Not a problem that the Gemara is left out for an hour.
The word sha'ah, like you see in the Sheri Yatzad, if Shali Kayim Afilu Sha'a Echad, it doesn't necessarily mean an hour. Sha'a means even a period of time. It can mean whatever period of time. So in modern Hebrew, in general, Sha'a means a 60-minute hour. That's not the case necessarily. What does it mean? If Shali Kayim Afilu Sha'a Echad, even for a moment, if something was ruptured or blocked in the body, yeah, you tell the body, no, don't go into cardiac arrest. Give me an hour. No, it doesn't work like that. How's that? What do you want to ask? So that's the Maharsha. Now, where does the Gemara get this thing that Midat Tova is greater than Midat Pur'anut by 500 times?
Abraham Avinu.
How so?
Because the Pasuk is a Hekesh from Yura to Ava.
Okay.
And for Yura, it was one, I don't know exactly.
For 1 second. So the Maharsha says himself, listen to this. Kateva Magia. Amar Magia. Veli Nira. והתוספות נפקא לא מקרא, דכתיב במידת פורענות, פוקד אבון על אבות, פוקד אבון אבות על בנים, על שלשים ועל רבעים. It says in עשרת הדיברות, הקדוש ברוך הוא, in general, Hashem does not punish children for their fathers or their ancestors' עבירות. Unless what? Unless the children continue the same עבונות, then Hashem says, then I'm not only going to punish you for you, I'm going to punish you for your parents as well. But how long? על שלשים ועל רבעים. Hashem says there's a cutoff. Only 3 or 4 generations, which means past your great-grandfather, even if you continue in the same sins, Hashem's not going to punish your son anymore. It's a cutoff of 4 generations. Now that's Pur'anut, that's punishment. Then what does it say? Oh. Uvmidat tova, ketiv, ve'oseh chesed la'alafim. Yeah? What does it say? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does kindness for alafim. What's alafim? The minimum of thousands is 2,000. Now, what's the ratio? HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes up to 4 generations, but Hashem rewards even more than, but minimum of 2,000 generations. So imagine for a second that we're still being rewarded for our ancestors 2,000, not years, but 2,000 generations ago. That's a big number. So now, if that's the case, 200 relative to 4 is a difference of, I mean, if you divide it, it's 500. So from here we see, Dehainu, Im b'midat pur'anut, משלם דור רבעים, הביא אגב חסד לאלפים אחד מחמש מאות. ומשלם דור שלישים, הביא אגב חסד לאלפים אחד מתפשין בקירוב. Which means, what happens if a Kadosh Baruch Hu, let's say Hashem rewards, let's say it's not 2,000 generations, let's, it could be more. Let's say Hashem rewards for 3,000 generations, if Hashem punishes for 3 generations, how much is that going to be?
1500.
It's all relative. Hashem has his cheshbon. Hashem knows exactly how much he punishes. And based on however much he punishes, he rewards 500 times at least. That's what we know. Hashem can always do more, but a minimum of 500 times more than the amount of punishment. If Miriam waited a third of an hour, which is 20 minutes, havi aichad mitav kuf bekeruv. Which means, if she waited 15 minutes, then it would be 500 times that. Benakat Shapir or Rav Yasha. That's why Tosfot says, either it's a, now when we say a week, could not necessarily be a whole week. It could be close to a week. So depending on whether or not she waited 15 or 20 minutes from Moshe Rabbeinu on Yam Suf, that made HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not made, but that caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to want to make Am Yisrael wait for her for that period of time. So that's the exact cheshbon. Sometimes we don't understand, everything is mamash meduyak. You have to understand that in life, one of the Yudgim Ali Karim that the Rambam brings down that every believing Jew has to have faith in is that Ani ma'amin b'emunah shlema, for those who say it every day after the tefillah, you don't necessarily have to, but you still have to have full belief in it. Shakadosh Baruch Hu ma'anish l'rishayim u'mshalem sachar tov l'tzadikim la'atid lavo, which means Hakadosh Baruch Hu will reward the tzadikim and punish the rishayim la'atid lavo. Sometimes, I don't know why, but people connect to the reward, oh, fluffy, and everybody loves it, whatever, but they forget that the same Torah and the same Hakadosh Baruch Hu that heaps reward on Am Yisrael is also going to take them to task. There's always, anytime you see brachot in the Torah, anytime, it's always back to back with klala. There's always, they counteract one another, but they're always together. Look in Kriyat Shema. There's a reason why, what's the order of Kriyat Shema? The Gemara says, Masechet Brachot, why do we read first Parashat Ve'ahavta, and then Parashat Vayayin Shamawa, and then Parashat Vayomer? The Gemara says, Parashat Ve'ahavta is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. You accept the yoke of heaven with Shema Yisrael, Ve'ahavta, Ahavat Hashem, they go together, accepting the yoke of heaven and loving Hashem. And the next one is Schar Va'onesh, the mitzvot, and reward and punishment. In Ba'ayah, it starts off beautiful. Ba'ayah, in Shema, Tishma, Mitzvotai, Ve'natitin, Taratzechim, Ve'ayito, Yoram, Kosh, all sorts of rewards. But then, Yishamanu Lachim, Peniftei Levavchim, Ve'sertim, Ve'avadtim, it says it, you know, we put it everywhere. It's on mezuzot, it's on tefillin, it's in the Torah. You can't get away from Sachar Va'onesh. No matter where you go, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, you'll be rewarded, but understand that if you deviate, if you pivot away from doing the Torah mitzvot, there's going to be repercussions. And sometimes people don't focus on that. Now, again, Kadosh Baruch Hu drov tuvo, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, matei chesed, matei klape chesed, which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu, always when there's, Hashem tilts towards chesed. That's why, hey, wait a second, if it was justice, how does it work that the ratio of punishment is 1-to-1 and the ratio of reward is 1-to-500? How does that make sense? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the world belongs to me. I can tip the scales towards chesed. But at the end of the day, that doesn't mean that a person is going to shirk punishment when he is deserving of it. Now, not to say a person's chozer b'tshuva, so we know what tshuva does. And there's different levels of tshuva. Teshuvah me'ahava, teshuvah me'ira, depending on what kind of teshuvah, the quality of the teshuvah that a person accepts upon himself, that changes the avirot that he did to different things. Sometimes avirot that were done b'mezid get upgraded to shogeg. Sometimes avirot that were done b'mezid not only get upgraded to shogeg, but get completely turned over to mitzvot, to zechuyot, depending on the power and the intensity and the quality of the teshuvah, that's what happens. But person has to realize, you know, sometimes I used to be a rabbi in a certain shul, and they said, when you give the Rosh Hashanah Shabbat, make sure it's always towards the positive. Make sure you only talk about the positive. Don't talk about it. No negative, whatever. No, don't say anything about punishments and what, because everything, you know, we live in a generation today that everything has to be kumbaya, right? Everything, we're all a bunch of fluffer nutters. Everybody's fluffy and everybody's, you know, a bunch of wusses. So nobody can hear the truth. Yeah, lachen. So they used to say, only say the good and reward and zeh. So I told them, I have no problem. But if that's the case, you got to take out all your Sifrei Torah and you got to start cutting. They said, what are you talking about? I said, you know, the Torah is full of negative things. No, not negative, but the Torah says that there are repercussions. So anytime there's, you know, Mechalel Shabbat, the Torah says, Mechaleleha mot mat. The Torah says, a person Mechalel Shabbat, Chayav Mitai, gets thrown off a roof, stone, vizeh. I said, it's pretty intense. You know, maybe it doesn't rub everybody the right way. Maybe I have to, you know, maybe I have to take it easy and, you know, at least maybe white out or at least skip that portion of the, you know, my body. You know, tell them escape, you know, just and they said, oh. I said, it's not very positive. You know, it's not very kumbaya. Maybe it doesn't rub everybody the right way. Maybe people have their, you know, their personal things and their comfort zones. And
what's their feelings?
Yeah, you might rock the boat and hurt people's feelings, and it's not so culturally sensitive to everybody because, you know, Torah obviously has to take a poll to see who's culturally feels sensitive with the Torah visit. Torah Kedoshan needs your,
so what
would
you do,
though? Not there anymore. Anyway, reminded me of a story. There was once a Rav who got a new job, got a new position in some congregation, and he's got a podium and a pulpit to give a lecture and sermon and all the, you know, all this stuff. So anyway, Mekitzer, so he gets up there, and before the first Shabbat, the board members, that's always very important, the board members, they come, they ask the Rav, very excited, you know, very excited, a new beginning and fresh start and stuff. We want to know what you're going to talk about this Shabbat. What are you going to speak about? So he said it's, I don't know, it was Parashat Shemini, so he's talking about over there, Machanot HaSurot. So he says, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Dinim of Kashrut and stuff like that, you know, what's kasher, what's not, and stuff. They said, oh, the board tells him, he said, what? He says, you know, that may be a little bit sensitive for some people because a lot of them, you know, at home, they keep kosher in their heart, but not in their liver. So you know what I'm saying? That, you know, they keep a kosher home inside the heart. But once it gets to the liver or the kidneys or the spleen, so they don't keep a kosher home anymore. You know what I'm saying? So, and sometimes they go out and it's different levels, whatever. We don't want to offend. We don't want to, you know, trespass on anybody's cultural sensitivities to make sure that, you know, maybe let's find something else to talk about. He's thinking things. He says, Parashat Shemini, he's thinking. He says, I don't know, maybe I'll talk about something Shabbat related, Shemini Shabbat, how important it is. Whoa! Seeing himself, that's also, you know, not everybody's there yet. There's still exploratory Judaism. They're still exploring, feeling the waters, you know what I'm saying? Making sure that the water's not too hot, they don't get burned, you know what I'm saying? Feeling, you know, so we don't want to talk about that either because that's a sore topic. He's thinking himself, what am I going to do? He's thinking, what should I talk about? He says, okay, next week's parasha is parasha Tazria. Yishaki Tazria, Vilda Zachara, talks about Tum'a V'Taura, talks about Tum'a Sheben Ish Leishto. He says, okay, maybe I'll talk about Taurat HaMishpacha. Whoa! He says, it's, you know, personal, that's very intimate, and everybody has their own levels of understanding and their own levels of closeness to God and how they connect to Him through their own. The new Rav, he turned to the board and he said, okay, let's stop right now. Listen, guys, you don't want me to talk about anything of substance, no Shabbat and no Kashrut and no Taharat HaMishpacha. What exactly do you want me to say in my sermon? What do you want to talk about? Yeah. So they said, you know, you're the rabbi. Why don't you just talk about, you know, Yiddishkeit, Judaism. Just talk about Judaism. Understand the joke? Yeah.
Yishmak words.
Huh?
The words are Yishmak.
Anyway, the Kitzur, to be, you know, you have to understand, it's Judaism is a package deal. Torah is a package deal also. One time, I heard this Dvar Musar from Hagaon Rav Amar, the Rishon LeZion and Rav Rashi Yerushalayim. He said a very interesting thing. They asked him, why are you so against the Reform movement? He says, what do you have against them? There's many different branches, Reform, Conservative, what do you have? Why are you so against? I'm not comparing whatever. I'm just saying in general. They asked him, what do you have? Because you know that Rabbanim and Rashim and said that fire and brimstone, and the government gets very squeamish when the Rabbanim start saying things against Reform and Conservative, because they get a lot, the state of Israel gets a lot of money from them, and they get nervous, maybe tone it down, whatever. And the Rabbanim tone it down, and they say, Rishaim, Arurim, they're destroying. So he says, yeah, what exactly, why don't we just call it like a different branch of Judaism? There's many different branches and different streams, you know, it's all part of the same tree of life, you know, why don't we just, yeah, what's so against them? So Rav Amar said, interesting, said everybody here knows about basketball, right? That's a spice of life. In America, in Israel, basketball, everybody knows. So he says, imagine you have a game between two teams, and they're playing, and the game is going well. All of a sudden, one of the teams call a timeout, and they huddle. The coach tells them whatever, and they call over the ref. And they tell the referee, they said, listen, you know, we decided amongst ourselves on the team, we want to eliminate the half-court line in the game. We want to take it away. He's thinking to himself, he says, why? He says, don't worry, why? This is the way we do things, you know, the half court line, this, you know, it's insulting our cultural sensitivities and stuff, and we don't like it, and we want to eliminate it. So he said, I don't know, I have to ask the other team, whatever, but okay, whatever. He went to talk to the other team. They said, yes, it's okay, whatever. The ref made a psak. Okay, no more half court line. So, in. So they keep on playing. And then the first team, they call another timeout. Said, well, what now? Said, you know, the foul line where we take three-point shots from, we don't like it anymore. It's too round, you know, too black. It's, you know, it's not the right color. Was it? We want to eliminate the foul line from the court as well. The ref's looking at them. He said, I don't get you. Whatever. But said, okay, fine. I'll take it away. Then they continue the game. He says, they continue now. And they called another timeout, the last one. And they said, listen, we want to continue the game. We really do. And we really love basketball. But in order to make ourselves a little bit more comfortable and to make sure it rubs us the right way and the fans and what, you know, perception, no more foul line. We don't want a foul line and no more foul shots. And the baskets also have to go. We want to also substitute the baskets for goalposts. And instead of a round ball, we want a cylindrical ball. Okay, but we're still going to play basketball. Okay, we're going to dribble the football and throw it or kick it through the goalpost, but we're still playing basketball. Okay, and he says, okay. So if I'm going to turn to the people who asked him this question, he says, listen, you want to change the rules? That's up to you. But he says there comes a point. How many rules can you change and still call it the same game? You understand? It's basketball, yeah? Dribbling the football. It's basketball, yeah? Understand. Very powerful guard. It's a very, very powerful guard. Yeah, now, every generation tries to do a little bit more damage than the one before. But at the end of the day, you'd say, you are whatever you want. Judaism, you're not. I don't know what kind of, maybe you're a brand of, maybe another religion, whatever, but don't do me a favor. Yeah. Call a spade a spade. Judaism, you're not. You want to call yourself a different religion, you know, I don't know, universalism, whatever you want to call it. Make up your own religion, but don't call it, you know, this Judaism, that Judaism, because it's not. That's what it is. And it starts, where does it all start? The Torah is not for sale. The Torah is not something that needs to be, you know, whitewashed or, you know, you don't have to make excuses. No, because the Torah didn't really mean that. It was back. No, the Torah meant exactly what it said. And if you don't, like the Gemara says, Meforash, Torah munachat bekeren zavit, kol arotzeh litol yavol litol. The Torah is in a corner. Anybody who wants it, come and take it. You don't want it, your problem. Torah doesn't need to chase you. We don't need to sell the Torah with anything else. You know, today we like to sell the Torah, not sell it, but, you know, with poppers and sushi and stuff. That's good because you bring people in until they understand the Metikut Torah, and then they don't need the poppers to sell it anymore. Yeah. Poppers are, you know, I have a lot of akarat atol. It's the biggest chuzrim b'tshuva of the machzirim b'tshuva of the generation is poppers and sushi. That's a tremendous chuyot. The chickens are going to get the shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, chazku v'imtzu, chazakim v'ruchim.
Hektesh.
Say, wow, is it yofim? The chickens live. Me, he says, no, look, he went. It's a big thing, no? And the hot sauce and the zek. So, b'kol makom rabotai, it's really important to realize that everything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does and everything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu delineated in the Torah Kadosha is with extreme meticulism. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very, very precise. Everything in the Torah is with extreme precision. The Sachar, the Onish, the Cheshbonot. Sometimes we don't understand them. That's okay. We don't have to understand. Person can try to understand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal. His wisdom is eternal. He's eternal. We're finite beings. How can you ever try to understand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We can try through the Torah Kadosha, but fully to understand Hashem is impossible. So it's okay if we don't understand, but realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a heavenly plan. And there's a nice quote from Rav Nata Greenblatt, Alev Shalom, who was the Av Bedin in Memphis. He was a Talmid of Rav Moshe, and he said a beautiful vart. When he first moved to Memphis to be a Rav, you know, it was pretty, you know, light. Not a lot of Judaism going on over there. So he was teaching them Bet Torah, Mitzvot, and stuff like that. So somebody asked him, like 50 years ago or something, he says, Rabbi, how much does God really care if I flip on a switch on the Sabbath? Why do you think that God really cares? How much? Why do you think it matters? So he says, if you ask a guy strapped onto the electric chair, you know, somebody flips the switch over there too. To him, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty important. Yeah, who who and when and why they flip the switch. You know, there's a switch, the guys. So meaning, what he meant to tell him, depending on what you're attached to, is going to determine how important or not important that flipping of the switch is. Depends what you're attached to. Yeah, to the guy in the electric chair, he's attached to the chair. So to him, it's very important. When you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every little thing matters. It's a big, big part for a person to remember. So hin, b'avodat Hashem, hin, and anything else that we do, everything that we do is really avodat Hashem. So a person has to remember that. And Rabotai, I will leave you here. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Try to get some fresh air. Stay safe. And that's that. Regards to Canada. Go to Rabotai. Shabbat Shalom.